Austin Dillon wins again at Richmond. This time, it results in a playoff berth. William Byron is the regular season champion, and who's the favorite to take the crown? We'll address these stories and a lot more on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
And welcome to the show. I'm joined this week, as always, by Alexis Erickson in studio here at the PRN Studios at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and Brad Gilley from the Lone Star State as we dissect all things Richmond International Raceway that saw Austin Dillon win back-to-back there. This time, quite not the controversy that we saw last year. Alexis, surprised that Austin Dillon backed up last year's winning performance with another one without all the hoopla?
Yes, yeah. I am. And I think it would be crazy for anybody to say that they weren't. I mean, last year we thought that, you know, obviously you had the controversy at the end, which you alluded to with the contact with Joey Logano and Denny Hamlin, and then eventually having the win stand, but his playoff eligibility be taken away. If it wasn't for that late race yellow, It would have played out pretty much the same way that this past Saturday night played out at Richmond. But at that time, you know, looking at the history, looking at what RCR had done lately, all of those things, I thought that was kind of a fluke. And I did not think, based off of what we've seen from RCR in 2025, that they were going to be able to back that up. And if they were, I thought it would be reversed. I thought maybe it would be Kyle Busch and not Austin Dillon. So yes, I was very surprised, but nobody can take away the fact that they had the best car. Austin Dillon ran a fantastic race. The pit crew did, you know, what they needed to do. Pretty much everything that needed to go right. There was no late race yellow. Everything that needed to go right went right for Austin Dillon and that three team.
Brad Gilley, how do you explain the magic mojo that Austin Dillon has at Richmond right now?
You know, I'll go off of what he said post-race. He said, look, I'm just really good at saving my tires here at this track, and this goes back to my dirt racing days. And if you remember, both Austin and Ty grew up doing that. So he said, look, I understand how to manage the tires, how to save those, how to have something at the end. And it just simply works out. I mean, whatever it is, he has Richmond in this race car figured out. And yeah, I'm surprised he went back to back, because that's hard to do. I don't know that I'm surprised that he ran well, because last year's win, again, it wasn't a fluke. It was pretty legitimate that he had a 3.4 second lead until Ricky Stenhouse Jr. drew that final caution. But again, winning back to back at anything is a pretty tough thing to do in this sport, especially if you're a driver that doesn't win with regularity.
And to Brad's point, if your drinking words were tire fall off or degradation, you're just now sobering up after Richmond, by the way. So let's hear what Austin Dillon had to say.
You get to cup level and it just humbles you. You know, it's a whole nother department of winning. So now I'm more thankful than anything. It's not like, kiss my butt, I won. It's more like, man, that was awesome to be able to get a win at the highest level of motorsport and do it for my family, RCR, welcome, pit crew, all those guys. Like, I'm just the guy that got to wheel it tonight, and thank you, Jesus.
You know, it's interesting because I think there's an argument that could be made that this was the biggest win of Austin Dillon's career, not the Daytona 500, not the Coca-Cola 600, that this was, you know, redemption. Everybody keeps using the word redemption. I don't know if it necessarily fits in this scenario, but that's what everybody keeps using. But I do think coming back here, proving that it wasn't a fluke, could get an argument made for this being the biggest win of his career.
Brad,
six
Kelly, what
now.
Do you, what do you think about that?
I have to think you're winning your first race in a major with the Coca-Cola 600, which is a home track for you. That's a pretty big deal. The Daytona 500 is a pretty big one. I think this one ranks pretty high, and really only Austin Dillon could answer that question, but this is massive for Richard Childress Racing. Here's a driver who went into this event 28th in the standings. They wind up 25th in the standings, but it doesn't matter. The worst they're going to finish now is 16th. So whatever this one paid to win, $350,000, $400,000, I'm not sure what that number exactly is because we don't get that anymore, this is now worth millions above that, as far as it vaulted him ahead in the standings.
Yeah, I agree, and I tend to agree with Alexis here. I think this may have validated Austin Dillon more than any of his other wins. A lot of wild card drivers win at Daytona. His Coca-Cola 600 win, purely fuel mileage. Last year's victory, somewhat tainted because he had to drive through two other drivers to get to that point. I was impressed the year he won in Texas and survived three overtimes, but he just went out and beat the field down at Richmond this time. So good on you, Austin Dillon. I know he catches a lot of flack. I know there had already been a lot of talk. He ought to go off and just run his bull riding operation and give that car to somebody else. I don't think he's quite ready to do that, as they won in dominant fashion, and Austin Dillon's headed to the playoffs. We have a regular season champion, and his name is William Byron.
Crazy day, but definitely proud of this team. You know, we did it. Done a really good job, through a lot of adversity, and really good so far this year. So looking forward to the postseason.
Brad Gay, what do you think about the performance of Willie B over the first 25 races?
You know, it's amazing. Like 3 or 4 weeks ago, it looked like he was about to give up the regular season championship. And then all of a sudden, you know, he completely snapped that rubber band back the exact opposite way and was able to win it with authority. I mean, to be able to win the regular season championship when there is still one race to go in the regular season says a lot about the consistency and the performance that he and crew chief Rudy Fugel had. To me, it also says a lot about why we need a playoff system as well.
Alexis?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, they had a little bit of help on Saturday night with Chase Elliott getting involved in that incident with Kyle Busch and that big, huge wreck that they had, you know, kind of taking him out of it and giving it to William. But 26 races, 25 races, I guess you could say, you know, he was able to stay up there, to stay on top of the point standings or nearby it. And he's now got 15 playoff points going into the first round of the playoffs, 15 extra on top of what he already had, which is going to be really hard to beat.
I feel like the person that this hurts the most is his own teammate, Chase Elliott. Chase needed those 15 points.
Yeah.
But over the last 2 weeks, they've slipped away and they've gone to William Byron, and Chase is going to be scrambling. He's going to go into the playoffs with a scant few playoff points. And, Brad, that's a big disadvantage.
Well, if he can hold serve and remain the runner-up in the regular season, he's going to get 10 extra on top of, what, the 6 that he has right now. So that's going to mean something. You know, I mean, it's not like William Byron gets all of the playoffs points. He just gets the larger share of the ones that are awarded at the end of the regular season. So Chase Elliott's going to get something. Certainly not as much, but hey, look, there are 7 more available this Saturday night at Daytona, so go out and get them.
All right, by the way, let's talk about the Toyota Performance Report. It was a little bit rough for the Toyota gang at Richmond this past weekend. Denny Hamlin, top finishing Toyota in a place that a lot of us felt like he was almost a lock to win that, had problems on pit road on 3 different occasions, wound up coming home in 10th. Chase Briscoe, 13th. Way back down to 18th was Ty Gibbs, Christopher Bell, 21st. 26th was Eric Jones. 29th was Corey Heim in a kind of a one-off deal. Riley Herbst was 31st. 34th belonged to Tyler Reddick. And 36th was John Hunter Nemechek. So tough day there for the Toyotas overall at Richmond. You know, I'm going to just ask something. And this is... I don't even know why I'm going down this.
I can't wait.
Have you noticed that Riley Herbst has been in all the races this year?
Yeah, I mean, his name isn't mentioned very often. That's for sure. But I could make that argument for a few folks, certainly. But, I mean, look, rookie season, you know.
Brad, are they spending daddy's money wisely?
You know, I mean, look. He goes out last year and, you know, does very well in the Xfinity Series the last few years, and that's a tough one to say. But to your point, I know I've been guilty of it. How many times have people referred to 2311 as a two-car team? Well, both the 2311 cars did. Oh, wait, that's right. There's Riley Herbst. Well, both this, you know, and I thought, well, I'll take him out of the equation right now because he's a rookie. Fact of the matter is he's 35th in points right now. And that's, to your point, that's just a tough place to see. And you can almost go invisible, especially when there's another Monster Energy car on the track week in and week out.
I saw a video this weekend, and I don't know how true it was, like if it was just a joke that they were playing, but that Tyler Reddick got in the wrong car. He got in Riley Herbst's car in practice and then was like, oh, wait, this isn't my car.
Television, and I would about bet that radio have both swapped those drivers out this year with the two Monster Energy cars. And I'm picking on Riley a little bit, but I'm not.
Yeah.
At some point, we need to see a glimmer of what can be. And to Brad's point, when you're 35th and you've been in all the races, there's not been too many bright, shining moments this year for Riley Herbst. We'll take a timeout. Come right back.
Here's what you missed last week on Toyota Gazoo Racing. Bubba was totally... as he, around the pack, managing to, across the finish line to claim me in victory lane. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
NASCAR heads to Daytona International Speedway this weekend for their summer festivities, and it'll be the last race in the regular season. The field is pretty much set. 14 drivers are locked in. Looks like one will get in on points. Even if we have a new winner, one gets in on points. If we have a repeat winner, two drivers will make it in on points right now. And as we're looking at this, Brad, I'm going to start with you. And I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but not really. Is there one driver right now that you're looking at going like, that's the pony that I want to ride all the way to the finish line in Phoenix?
Oh, man, that is so hard right now because we have had such a wacky summer. You know, you get Shane Van Gisbergen winning four races, you know, all of those being on road courses. You have Kyle Larson in a super slump right now. Who knows about Team Penske, because they've not really been that great, maybe with the exception of Ryan Blaney, but they step it up when it comes to the postseason. So I think if I have to pick one, I'm going to take Christopher Bell. I feel like they're the ones that are on the upswing right now, even though they had some issues Saturday night. I think Christopher Bell is the guy that I would say, okay, There's a championship four team.
Impressive. Going with C. Bell there. Yeah, well, I thought so. I'm perked up.
He's made a lot of championship four appearances so far, and I think he'll certainly be one to beat. I don't know why I keep going back to this. I think it could be their three championships in a row thing. I know a lot of people are on the outs when it comes to Team Penske, but Ryan Blaney, for some reason, is like the driver that I have in my gut saying, okay, well, I think this is the guy. He's had speed, Doug. all season long. And I think those guys just know how to turn it on when it comes to the postseason. And so I expect him to be someone you're going to have to go through to get to the championship.
I'm not going to back up on my chatter from last week. I really think this, in all seriousness, could be Denny Hamlin's year because of the things that you and Brad have already said. There's not a clear-cut leader in the clubhouse right now.
I don't think so, yeah.
At least to me. There's not one person I can look at their analytics or I just have a strong feeling that, wow, you've got to beat them. You know, the year Kyle Larson won his title, it was almost decided before it was decided.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the format, too. I mean, and there's so much chatter these days about what the championship format is, but I don't think there's – I mean, the way that we decide a champion now in these rounds and elimination style and all these things, I don't know that there's any one team that has the, you know, their finger on the pulse of that enough to say, okay, well, that's the team.
Brad Gilley mentioned a moment ago about the struggles of Kyle Larson. They are not imagined.
No.
And if you go back in time, they track right back to the Charlotte Indy Double Day and how that ended in disaster, and they've never really found their footing. 37th at Charlotte. Nashville, they were 8th. They had some good runs. Michigan was 5th, but then they turn around to Mexico City, 36th. Pocono, 17th. Atlanta Motor Speedway, 17th. Watkins Glen, 39th. Iowa, 28th. They have averaged 18.2 since the day at the Coca-Cola 600 in Charlotte. Brad Gilley, that's not getting it done.
That's not getting it done at all. And I mean, and it's real. You know, it's not like he's had bad luck in all of these things. It's just simply real. I mean, man's led 31 laps in the last 10 total races. 31. This is a guy who regularly leads over 1,000 laps per season, sometimes over 2,000 laps per season. And if you're not running up front, you can't expect to finish up front. And it has just been a soft part of the year. Maybe they're waiting, Doug. Maybe they're waiting for the playoffs. I don't buy into those things, but I'm just saying, you know, it's if you're going where you are right now, momentum is not on your side.
I think it's extremely telling that, you know, when we talk about Kyle Larson, we talk about, you know, he's in the conversation of being the greatest driver of all time, but none of us, not one of the three of us, picked him as being the guy that we think is going to go, you know, and set the world on fire in these playoffs. So that in itself, I think, is extremely telling.
And he's usually a default pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Kyle Larson's the guy. Yeah. I guess by the fact that he won the regular season, Brad, William Byron is right now the lead show pony out of the Hendrick Motorsports table.
Well, no question. He's been the one who's been on top of the point standings most of the year. While he doesn't have the most wins, that goes to Kyle Larson at 3, and William Byron only has 2. And I know everyone's talked about Chase Elliott's wild consistency. Well, I guess now for the second week in a row, he's finished outside of the top 20, and those are the first two finishes outside of the top 20 all season long. Yeah, I would say William Byron is definitely the lead at Hendrick Motorsports. And guess what? I might also put Alex Bowman at number 2. And here's why. Alex Bowman in the last 10 races has scored more points than any other driver in the NASCAR Cup Series, period. It's easy to forget about him down 9th in the standings right now, but that's by 15 more points than the next driver in line. Alex Bowman and Blake Harris's crew chief, they've probably been one of the most consistent teams in the Cup Series. And guess what? When it comes to Daytona Talladega Speedway races, he actually goes up to the top there in the next-gen car as well in terms of an average finish, which is 8.2.
Alexis, I just think this adds more to our argument that it's a muddy field right now as far as seeing one driver or one team that's that much better as we're one race away from going into the playoffs.
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, because when you look at you know, the year so far, we've had 14 winners.
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself shows that there isn't one person. I mean, you have Shane Van Gisbergen, who has 4 wins on road courses, which that's the most, you know. But still, when you think about that, it is such a wide open playing field. When's the last time we had 14 winners on the season?
Last year?
Was it last year?
And the year before? Yeah. Yeah.
Really? I always thought we had at least.
Or maybe not in the regular season.
I mean in the regular season.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I would have not thought this. I thought the way the year started off, of course, Christopher Bell came out and won 3 in a row. Yeah. Then Denny wins a couple.
Yeah.
And it looked like you were going to have 2 or 3 big hogs at the trough and everybody else was going to be getting the leftovers. But, Brad, that's not the case. And I can't really explain that, except this year we've had teams have exceptional days. Josh Berry at Las Vegas, Bubba Wallace at Indy, this past time at Richmond, it's Austin Dillon's turn. You've had these rare days when teams that we don't normally think about have stepped out and had big performances.
Yeah, and you know, last year I think we saw a lot of the same. When Austin Cindric won at Gateway, I mean, that was his day. When Chase Elliott won at Texas, that was his day. Now, I feel like some of these drivers have had more than one day. You know, I know Chase Elliott got a big win, but he really had his day also at Dover. He just came up short of victory lane. You know, I know Josh Berry had the one win at Las Vegas early in the year, but he's had other days. He was pretty dominant at Texas until he spun coming off of turn 4. So he's had more than just one day. So I think we see a little more of that. Maybe this is the win in your in format that, you know, all of a sudden teams right now are really positioning themselves for the playoffs if you're already there. And then you take a guy like Austin Dillon who says, look, let's put all my eggs into the Richmond basket and we'll get something done. I don't know how to explain it, but it is pretty fascinating, to your point, how we see a handful of drivers come out early with a bunch of wins, and then we start to see these single race winners pepper themselves throughout the summertime.
Alexis, Brad just made the point that we've had drivers have their day. Does that also apply to, and I'm going to say our buddy, because he works so many broadcasts with us, Ross Chastain?
Absolutely.
He had a day.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at the winners on the season, and his name popped out at me for winning the Coca-Cola 600, and that was his day. I mean, there aren't many other. Brad has a much better memory than I do, so he might be able to say, well, he had a good day, you know, this race early in the season, but I can't remember another day that was as good, obviously, as getting a win, but that he even ran up front for a long period of time or led a lot of laps. So, yeah, I mean, when you think about it, there are these very segmented parts of, you know, the calendar where you have one driver that just shows up and shows out, and then, you know, we don't hear from them for a while. And that's kind of what's perpetuated this list of winners that we have.
Brad, I know your now wife, big Chastain fan, but he needs to be grateful that he had that day.
Yeah, he does. He does. He had another day, just one, at Texas.
I knew Brad would remember.
And finished second. But that was, but to your point, that was it. Chastain's day needs to be on Saturday when they qualify. I mean, that has just been the biggest deficiency with that team. But there's no question the Coca-Cola 600, and by the way, it took all 600 miles for that to be his day. But to go from last to the win was pretty spectacular. But guess what? If mile and a halfs are their strong suit, you know, what do we have in the playoffs? Kansas, you know, and it's not like there is an abundance of them. Then we get to Las Vegas, which is a pretty important one. But you got to get there. And that's a team that needs to do much better on Saturday if they're going to have Sunday speed.
And the other driver that has been a groomsman most of the year, except for one day, when he got to get up and strut his stuff, is Chase Elliott.
Yeah.
And that was against, and he, hate all you want, that was against a depleted field at Atlanta as a result of a 24-car wreck.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and when you talk about, you know, we talked about this earlier, the fact that when you have these drivers that have these one days or these one shining moments in the regular season, that usually means they don't have a whole lot of playoff points. And when you think about these drivers that do have a lot of playoff points, that means that those drivers are going to have to work even harder to make it, deep playoff run, because they just don't have, the points in the bank. Like, you know, like William Byron's going to have 30 plus points when this is all said and done. That's going to be a hard to overcome.
Willie, Denny.
Yeah.
Kyle Larson has 23 SVG.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Brad, can we see a champion this year when we're done at Phoenix, and we'll wrap up this segment, that wins the title and wins one race this year?
Maybe. Yeah, I think that's very possible. I mean, go back to last year's Championship Four playoffs field. Seabell missed it at Martinsville, and William Byron got in. The other three drivers, Joey Logano, he won from behind the cut line at Las Vegas. Tyler Reddick won from behind the cut line at Homestead. Ryan Blaney won from behind the cut line at Martinsville Speedway. So there's a good chance our Championship Four field is not necessarily made up of the best drivers in that moment, but the ones who were able to step up in a moment, which is what I like about the playoffs format, by the way. I think it encourages great, great things like that.
Daytona is often called the wild card event. We're going to dive into that in a fun way coming up next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Fast Talk here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Alexis Erickson, Doug Rice here in the PRN studios, Charlotte Motor Speedway. Brad Gilley from his home studio. Brad, correct me, is it Fort Worth?
Technically, I'm in Wise County, which the county seat here is Decatur, Texas, and I'm just north of Tarrant County, which is Fort Worth. But Fort Worth is home, and that is where I claim.
Okay. How far are you from the Speedway?
12 miles.
Yeah. Super okay. close.
Yeah. All right. So somewhere within a 20-mile radius of Texas Motor Speedway is Brad Gilley. All right, yes. We're going to have a little fun now. Daytona's coming up. There's always a good chance that we could get the 15th different winner. Of course, I didn't think we would have – I thought we'd have a repeat winner at Richmond. What do I know? But there is a very good opportunity that somebody comes up and pulls off – what Harrison Burton did last year, and they win, and they get into the playoffs at Daytona. We're going to start with the duo behind the glass of David Stiles and Kent Bernhardt. Now, your mission here, gentlemen, is to tell us who you like to win at Daytona, but there's a caveat that they have not won a race this year. So, David, Kent, I'm going to turn it over to you first.
Well, I'm going to go first. Carson Hocevar. He's finished pretty well at Super Speedway Tracks and at the two Atlanta races, sixth at Talladega, second at the first Atlanta race, 10th at the second Atlanta race, but he finished 33rd at the Daytona 500 because of a fuel pressure problem. So I think that he's very aggressive. It pays to be aggressive at Super Speedway Tracks. Kent?
All right, I'm going to go with Chris Buescher.
Chris Buescher's the guy. Top fives there. Is that what he's had? And nice. Solid performance there. So I'm leaning his way.
Now, proof that they're not just two pretty faces behind the glass here at PRN. That's David Styles and Kent Bernhardt. So, Brad Gilley from somewhere near Fort Worth, Texas. Who is your pick of a driver that has not won this year but will be the 15th new winner down at Daytona?
All right. I love David's pick, by the way, because it would actually really mix things up if Carson Hocevar should get in. That would be pretty awesome.
No kidding. Yeah.
I will take Ryan Preece. I think they have just had so many things happen to him, good and bad, this year. And remember, Ryan Preece was the runner-up at Talladega Super Speedway before his car was disqualified because they had one extra little spacer shim in the spoiler. But I like Ryan Preece for a trip to victory lane and a win into the playoffs.
All right. Alexis, what are you thinking about?
Well, I can tell you that we all have pretty much one thing in common, most of us, with the exclusion of David's pick of Carson Hocevar, and that's RFK Racing. And I'm going with Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski has quite the record when it comes to super speedway racing. I think he has 6 wins at Talladega, 1 win at Daytona. And he knows how to get it done on a super speedway. So I think Brad Keselowski is going to, you know, call his shot and get to victory lane and make it in the playoffs.
You know, as you guys have gone through all these picks, I'm going like, yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
That's super. They can win.
I think that's the thing that's so cool about it is that none of the drivers that we have named are like super far-fetched.
Yeah. So we're not asking who do you think will win Daytona. We're asking to pick a new winner to become the 15th different winner. And I'm just glad that left on the board is Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Nice. Wow.
Ricky has won at Daytona a couple of times. If he has an area of expertise, it is the super speedways like Daytona and Talladega. And I think that he could go there realistically with this one car operation and get a W. And I also like Ricky because he gave us the best moment of last season waiting in his camouflage shorts to jump on Kyle Busch at North Wilkesboro.
Look, none of us mentioned Kyle Busch.
No. He's only won one there. But yeah. Check this out, though. All right, so I was trying to think. All right, my gut feeling is William Byron, all right, for the true win. Yeah. But last year, Harrison Burton won his way through. 2 years ago, Chris Buescher won. That was his third win of the season. Before Chris Buescher won, Austin Dillon won his way through in 2022. 21, it was Ryan Blaney winning. William Byron won in 20. William Byron's win in 2020 was the win that got him in the playoffs, by the way. He was the car that was positioned last in points, would have made it on points anyway, but they technically won their way through. So winning your way through is not uncommon. 2019, Justin Haley, but that was before it was the playoffs cutoff race. He won the summer race at Daytona. If you remember, rain shortened it. Kurt Busch was leading that race. Kurt Busch had come into pit right when they stopped the race, and Justin Haley won. So the summer Daytona race, it is not unheard of. In fact, it's been more common than not to have drivers actually win their way through.
Does the way they race these super speedway races now change that at all in your mind, Brad, where we're – you know, we're fuel mileage racing and we're, you know.
I mean, Harrison Burton won last
year. Yeah.
So, you know, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won the Daytona 500 in 2023. Now, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is historically capable. I don't want to throw any shade at Harrison Burton. But, you know, look, we went into Atlanta, another speedway race, and what, lap 72, whatever, going into the second stage. Half the field was taken out. All but 2 drivers were taken out of that race who had won races this year.
That's a huge factor, Brad. You're right. Yeah. And that's – Daytona eliminates people.
Yes.
We get down there and they'll race Saturday night, and by the time they get to the finish, I'm going to say the number's going to be around 15 cars that are not beat up.
That are still on the
– and not the rolling wounded. And if you're one of those and you can survive – heck, you might be Justin Haley and go out and win one that's not rain shortened.
How would you like to be Tyler Reddick and Alex Bowman going into this race?
Honestly, if I'm Alex Bowman, I'm pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
I said his average finish was 8.2 at Daytona Talladega. It's actually 8.9. But it's if you have a single-digit average finish over a spread of races at a speedway like that, That's a pretty big deal. Tyler Reddick ranked 7th on the list, by the way, in terms of points collected at Daytona Talladega. That doesn't put Atlanta into the mix. I can't sort it that way because they don't, for whatever reason, consider Atlanta as a speedway race, even though it is. But still, I think if I'm Alex Bowman, I might feel pretty good about this weekend.
Who would have thought 5, 6, 7 weeks ago that Tyler Reddick was going to go into the final race and not have an opportunity to get in on points? Not
I thought he was going to clinch Saturday night at Richmond.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, now he's at risk of not making it.
He's fallen off, too. He's another one. Not quite in the Kyle Larson world, but right now Reddick plus 89. That's pretty good. I feel like...
He's going to have to keep his eyes on Alex Bowman, because if Alex gains enough points on him to push him to 16th and then a new winner wins, Tyler Reddick's out.
Yeah. Yep. Brad, is the biggest enemy for Reddick and Bowman a new winner?
No question.
1,000%.
Because if we have a new winner, one of them's not going to make it. So, yeah, that's what I would be the most worried about.
And we just went through a list of a half a dozen drivers, and we didn't hit all of them, like you said, Alexis.
Yeah.
You know who we didn't mention? A former Daytona 500 winner, Michael McDowell.
Yep.
He's a guy whose name gets brought up all the time. We did not mention Kyle Busch. He could be a long shot winner down there. So there are a couple of others.
Daniel Suarez, who won Atlanta.
Yeah.
Great point.
So there are some legit cars that have not won this year that could come up and grab that last spot, and these guys could be out if they have bad days. They're not locked in yet. We'll see how it goes. That's going to add to the drama this Saturday night in Daytona. Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. The opinions fly fast and furious each week on The Pit Reporters.
Every other major league sport has a playoff system, so I think the playoff system should stay. I do think there's maybe slight middle ground where there could be some changes that are made.
I do remember seasons where this championship had been decided well before the last few races, so it just isn't quite the same vibe that we have now.
Join us each week for The Pit Reporters.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Fast Talk here on PRN, and we had a rather lackluster Watkins Glen race. Not many cautions. Shane Van Gisbergen just wore out the field. He won by another 10 seconds. And Brad Gilley, I know you're not the guy that likes to say good or bad race because you think they all have good in them, and I admire that about you. But was the entertainment quotient of Richmond higher maybe than what we expected, and more so than some of the races we've watched lately?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. And number one, that comes from numerous people I talked to who called into SiriusXM post-race on Saturday night. I don't know that there was anyone. In fact, I know there was not a single person that called in and said they didn't like what they saw at Richmond. I think it's even more amplified in a week where people like Denny Hamlin and some other folks were complaining about the car and the next gen and throw it out the window and all of that stuff. Short track racing is awful. And we go to Richmond and saw exactly what we saw. And it was so compelling. Numerous storylines, strategy, great side-by-side racing, lap after lap after lap, especially between Austin Dillon and Ryan Blaney. I would say that this was a win all the way around at Richmond.
A dozen consecutive laps for those two, running side-by-side, never touched each other, really good stuff. Jeff Gluck, who sort of does of the Athletic, longtime NASCAR veteran. I hate to say that because I remember the very first time I ever met him in a parking lot at a Panthers football game. He was a wee lad. Anyway, Jeff Gluck, poll for Richmond, 83.1%. Yes, it was a good race. He simply asked, was this a good race or a bad race?
How much time is left on it? A lot, right?
I don't know. I think it's done.
Is it? Oh, wait. Yes. Okay. Because it was a Saturday night race. You're right. I'm always used to it being still going on Monday.
I think all the precincts are in on this.
All the precincts have reported. I would agree. Look, we've had several races back to back where, unfortunately, the talking points were not that it was a great race and not that we had a lot of passing and not, you know, all of the things that we really want to hear when we're digesting a race after it's over. But I will say that I think we definitely got all of that and more on Saturday night. You have to give a lot of credit to Goodyear. I think the tire combination that was brought certainly helped because tire strategy, drivers saving their tires versus not saving their tires, how quickly the tires fell off, those things, all of those things contributed to comers and goers, different strategy. You know, all of those things I think produced what I would call a very compelling race.
I'm not an engineer. Does this car need some work on it? Yes, obviously it does because historically on the short tracks, it's not been a good show. But I'm just going to enjoy what I got the other day. This was a good meal.
Yes.
I've been to this restaurant a bunch. Sometimes it doesn't serve up the best food. I really liked what I got this time. So I'm just going to enjoy Richmond. Daytona will be entertaining, and then we'll go on from there. So in Gluck's poll, Richmond, 83.1 to the good. And by the way, congrats on those folks. A legit sellout.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Saturday night under the lights, it was a good looking turnout for
Saturday
sure.
night under the lights with people and not shiny aluminum watching them race. So that was a plus. All right, we got to take a time out. We'll be right back with Green Flag, Black Flag.
I have a friend, about 50, had a bad accident and couldn't go back to work. If you're between the ages of 49 and 63 and can't go back to your job because of a physical or mental disability, Social Security could pay you as much as $3,800 a month. If you or a family member is unable to work because of a disability, call the Social Security Disability Helpline. Our team will give you a free case review and explain to you how much money you're entitled to, and you won't pay anything unless we get you benefits. See if you or a family member is entitled to close to $45,000 a year in Social Security disability funds. Remember, this is not something for people over the age of 65. If you're under 65 and can't work, call now.
800-731-1582. 800-731-1582. That's 800-731-1582.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's Bristol.
Allgaier immediately goes to the outside. Down on the bottom is Larson. Side by side for second is Connor Dillon.
Allgaier caught on the outside trying to fight back. A big wiggle out of Justin Allgaier again, but he's able to hold on to third.
Sam Mayer starts to go low. Then he goes high to block Kyle Larson. That hurts Larson, but could introduce Ryan Sieg.
It's the Food City 300. Friday night, September 12th at 7 Eastern on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
in Iraq. Our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Getting down to crunch time. Can't wait. I'm already jacked up about this Saturday night in Daytona. Brad, don't Good. You get that feeling? I mean, this is one that's easily, legitimately, you get anxious about. I don't want any rain. I just want them to go down there and race.
Look, I think there are a lot of genius moves in the NASCAR schedule that we've had over recent years. You know, even just this year, we get to go to New Hampshire in the fall when the leaves are changing. We got to go to Texas Cinco de Mayo weekend. Ending the regular season at Daytona is probably the most genius schedule move that I think we've had in the last half century, at least. I mean, what a great way to take 26 races all culminate at a track that can be so random.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, it really gives every single person on the entry list that doesn't have a win, that needs to win their way in, a legitimate chance at doing that. And I think that's what makes it so special.
All you got to do is be around at the end.
Right.
Be one of those handful of cars. It's not all beat up. And when you get to the end, you got a shot at making the playoffs. For years, folks promoted they wanted to see the entire season end and start at Daytona. This is about as close as you're going to get to that. I love it.
Now, I don't know if I would want my champion crowned at Daytona. I might think twice about that, but I certainly think the regular season ending at Daytona is a great choice.
Might be more fun than Phoenix. Just one person's opinion.
Wow, even after that Richmond race Saturday night. Just one, hey, same tire coming.
Yeah, okay, good. let's do Green Flag, Black Flag.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
Over we go to this week's statements of interest. We're going to read several of these here. If our panel mulls them over and decide they just happen to agree with them, they get a green flag. If they disagree with the statement, it gets a black flag. And if they're all in harmony and peace, agreeing on everything. Here we go. We're going to start with Brad Gilley today. Tyler Reddick will miss the playoffs.
Green flag. Even though I said I think William Byron will win Daytona, and it would take someone other than William Byron winning for Tyler Reddick to miss. But you know what? Why not? That would spark so much about the playoffs, considering here's a guy who's well into the top 10 in the standings, and if he misses it because someone else won, oof, be a big week.
Doug Rice.
I'm going to go with Brad Gilley, green flag. Tyler Reddick all this year on so many pre-race shows has been the sexy pick to win, and it's his time to show off. And they've not delivered, and I don't think they'll deliver at Daytona either.
All right, Alexis.
Wow. Well, I'm going to be a contrarian. I'm going to say black flag. I'm going to say there will be a new winner, and unfortunately for Alex Bowman, I think that's going to knock him out, not Tyler Reddick.
All right, over to Doug Rice for number two here. We will only have one driver make the playoffs on points this season. Only one.
Green flag. That means we get a new winner at Daytona. And I think that's – just feel that in the cards. That's the way that race is trending, so green flag.
Alexis?
Black flag. No, just kidding. Green flag. I just said it in my last answer. Yes, green flag.
David's fingers on the button here.
Brother, this guy stinks!
Stop that. Brad Gilley.
All right, just to contradict my last statement, I'll say green flag. Both Bowman and Reddick make it on points.
All right. Let's go to Alexis.
Multiple personalities down there in Fort Worth.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Alexis on this one. There will be no more Chase Elliott wins this season.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to say green flag for that. I mean, to be honest with you, like, he's had some opportunities. Obviously, won that race in Atlanta with a severely
depleted
field. Yes, but I just don't feel like that team is firing on all cylinders right now. I just don't.
Brad Gilley.
Black Flag, get your tickets now to the Bristol Night Race. He dominated the concrete at Dover before coming up short. He'll dominate the concrete at Bristol and win the night race.
Okay, Doug Rice.
I am agreeing with my companion here in studio, Alexis Erickson. Green Flag. That's it. One and done this year. Sorry, Chase.
Very, very good. All right, we go back to Brad Gilley for this one now. Polish up your vocal cords. We will all be singing the O'Reilly jingle more in 2026.
Green Flag, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, replacing Xfinity.
Doug
Love
Rice.
It.
That's not news to me, by the way. Yes, O'Reilly will be the new title sponsor of what has been the Busch Series and the Nationwide Series Xfinity, and now to be the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. And congrats. I will say this for that company, Alexis. They've been in this game a long time. They were a longtime sponsor here on PRN. This is not somebody brand new to the marketing of NASCAR world. They'll do a great job.
Absolutely. Yeah, Green Flag. O'Reilly Green Flag, by the way.
Ooh,
truth be told, I probably sing the O'Reilly jingle more than I hum it to myself. But no, the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series officially debuting in January next year to kick off what would be, our AA series, if you think about it that way. I think that's great for the sport. I think they're a great partner, and they will continue to move things forward as they always have.
Does this mean that we only have two more months of drivers saying, my car was as fast as Xfinity Internet?
I sure hope so. Green flag.
Is that gone? Is that extinct?
Do we have any? I would say what? 10 weeks?
Yeah.
11 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So, all right. That's good. Well, welcome O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fantastic.
Yes.
So, and that puts the wraps on this edition of Green Flag, Black Flag. We'll be back with one last thing.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
The NASCAR playoffs return to New Hampshire Motor Speedway September 19th to 21st. This year, it's going to be wicked faster and wicked funner. 3 days of racing, camping, concerts, and fireworks. Grab your friends or make some new ones. And when the checkered flag drops, one driver takes home the giant lobster. Don't miss New England's biggest race weekend, the NASCAR playoffs, September 19th through 21st. Get your tickets now at nhms.com.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
No one's paying me to say this, but you've been our lifeline. We have no internet. We have no TV. We barely have cell service. I don't know how I'm able to get to you. My Wi-Fi is not working. And I have a radio, and I finally got power on, and I have it plugged in, and I could hear you. You're the only station I can get in.
Wow. Well,
that's
I'm
why
glad
we're here.
So, wow.
The report that we got was that a severe tornado was heading right toward us. And I just want to commend you gentlemen for the job that you're doing, for keeping us informed.
I just wanted to say thank you for being on the radio and guiding us to, you know, where we can get help.
I just want to tell you, the first thing I heard was your voices on the next morning. Oh, shoot. And it made me cry. The comfort of hearing your voices.
My respiration, perspiration, and aggravation are sky high, but you guys have been the guiding light.
Your local AM station makes a difference.
By the way, doubleheader action this weekend down at Daytona. It'll be the NASCAR Xfinity Series. It'll be Xfinity till the end of the year. Then it turns into the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. That'll be Friday night, back to Saturday night, under the lights, back-to-back Saturday night races. And then there will be another Saturday night cup race coming up shortly when we go back to Bristol. So we're in a part of the season where we've got a lot of nighttime Saturday night action. Brad, do you like having a Sunday with no racing?
Yesterday was weird. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. It was weird in a nice, relaxing way. I'm more of a fan of Sunday races, so I'll just say that. Except I like the Saturday night Daytona race. I like the Saturday night Bristol race. Richmond was really nice. So, yeah, I'm okay either way, but I do not want to see an abundance of Saturday night races. I think a couple of them, those two staples that I first mentioned, are great. Outside of that, I'm good with all Sundays.
Yesterday was really weird for my household, too, because my husband, I mean, obviously NASCAR is like, you know, the biggest thing on my motorsports leaderboard, but my husband watches all sorts of motorsports, and there was not a lick of racing on yesterday. There was no IndyCar, no Formula One, no NASCAR, nothing. So it was very strange in our household too.
I got home from church, mm-hmm. and I'm going, I usually back time everything to the yeah. start of the pre-race show.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
yeah.
you know, and I'm in one part of my brain's going, okay, it's 1 o'clock. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
I stayed up and watched that last night. It was a little strange. I agree with Brad. I like a sampling. I think for a while NASCAR fell in love with that, and we had way too many Saturday night shows.
Agreed.
I like the balance where they are right now. Let's drift over into this segment.
One last thing.
Talk about anything you want. Make your one last thing point. Let's go down to somewhere near Fort Worth and Brad Gilley.
All right. My one last thing is a public service announcement. Where you live, if school has not already come back in session, it did here last week, it will be soon. Remember, those school zones are going to be active again. There are going to be a lot of children running around, riding their bicycles and all of those other things. Most likely they'll be distracted. Just make sure you're not and be safe in the school zones.
Such a great message.
That is. It is.
Yep, absolutely. My one last thing is one last race. One last race to set the field for the playoffs. We've talked about it on this entire show. We will talk about it next week when we have the playoff field set. And a week from Wednesday, Brad and I will be talking to all 16 playoff drivers. And I personally cannot wait to see where that conversation takes us, to see everybody's enthusiasm for another start to another playoff season and where we will end up in 11 weeks.
And you know for certain who 14 of those people will
yep.
be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that's fascinating. That's always a good time because everybody's jacked up. Everybody thinks they got a shot at the title until reality starts to sink in. My one last thing is enjoy the ride. So many fans get caught up in saying, I don't like this point system and I hate this car. And that's fine. Don't like the point system. Hate the car all you want. By the word hate is a very, very harsh word to put on anything. But enjoy the moment. It's like the Richmond race. If you think the car stinks, that's fine. That was an entertaining race by any stretch of the imagination. It hit all the matrix of what fans, and I'm a fan, think makes an entertaining race. Side-by-side racing, 12 laps of Ryan Blaney going at it with the eventual leader, Austin Dillon. They didn't touch each other, but it was a great show. You had a big crash that took out a bunch of cars. Who doesn't like an occasional big crash? You don't normally get that at Richmond. Don't let all of the side hustle ruin and steal your joy that this is still an entertaining sport. Could it be better? Absolutely, it could be better. And I hope the right people are working on making it better. But don't let that sour your taste for this.
Try to tune out the noise, is what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, fine-tune that radio just a little bit. Find some joy in there. And then in the off-season, you can complain all you want about the point system. I can promise you this. All the folks at NASCAR are keenly aware of this. Are they going to make the change that you want? Probably not. They're probably going to go in some other direction. But if I have learned one thing over the last couple of years, NASCAR used to be like the Titanic. They didn't move for icebergs. This version of NASCAR changes course.
Yeah, it does. It does. And look, we've seen a lot of really fun things introduced to our sport, and we continue to year in and year out. Next year, we get to go race on a military base in San Diego. How cool is that? The car continues to evolve. All of that. Look, you know, you go to a baseball game, you might see a 12-1 game, you might see a 3-3 game, or you might see a 1-0 game. But they're all games. Not every one of them is going to have passing for the lead every other lap. That should never be the expectation. And I would caution you, when it comes to talk of the car, talk of this or that, consider the source. Look, if I was the one holding a steering wheel and I wasn't winning every week, I got to find some excuse, and that's the easier thing to blame. So just enjoy what we have. It's pretty darn good.
All right, we got your upset picks for Daytona. Let's get your actually pick to click. Alexis, who wins Daytona?
Brad Keselowski.
You're going to ride that,
double down.
Ride that pony to the end.
Absolutely.
Brad Gilley, I think I know your answer here.
William Byron.
Ooh, William Byron.
Will he be?
Two wins at Daytona. You know, I'm going to stick with my upset pick. Ricky the Stenhouse Jr.
Let's
Why
do
not?
It.
See, I always thought that ought to be his wrestling name.
Although I like David's of Carson Hosovar.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good, too.
That would make for an
awesome
playoffs. Oh,
would that
playoffs.
Not be delicious fun?
Oh, yeah.
If he wins and then all the other drivers could hate on him all the way up. We'll be back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.